Jumping on into my Right Side Way opening monologue, I'll remind you guys that attorney Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee. Stan McDonald is indeed the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue, longtime practitioner of the law, and, oh, by the way, longtime conservative. And I'll tell you more about Stan here momentarily. All right, in the vein of what I said a moment ago, diversity, equity, inclusion. Did you get sick of those words during the last few years? I pretty much did. Yeah, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Three innocent words that have developed what may be a very sinister meaning. I mean, there's a strong movement underway right now led by Republican state legislators to include right here in Alabama and in Tennessee to abolish DEI practices in government offices and in public education. Basically, though, in some states now, if you want to receive your annual appropriation for the state budget, you'd better get away from those practices that exhibit favoritism and race baiting based on a person's skin color, sexual identity, or so-called underrepresentation. We're seeing it right now as a strong movement from the federal government as well. The Trump administration has issued orders to the whole of government, including the U.S. military, to disband DEI offices and to stop DEI practices. No more pronoun seminars, no more hiring preferences, no more inclusion memos and passing over the best candidates for the most woke candidates. DEI is truly where merit has gone to die. It is. Y'all, when somebody's appearance or their lifestyle or their claims of victimization are the top lines on their resume, the job will suffer. Why? Because it means they're not rewarding productivity and achievement. It means that success of the mission is secondary to the feelings of the employees, which means that the mission could actually fail. But hey, the boss will feel good about themselves for giving some poor, downtrodden, unqualified wretch a very important position though, right? Virtue signal, all the way to mediocrity. I hope you've all seen the movie Hidden Figures. I hope you have. It's an amazing true story. The movie starred Octavia Spencer, Kevin Costner, and a cast of greats. The efforts to combat racism in the early days of NASA's Apollo, that's the whole Apollo mission set. That's what the movie's about. And the best mathematician in NASA at the time was a lady named Catherine Goebel, a black woman. But because of her skin color, her work was deemed unfit. Until one day, her calculations actually won the approval of her boss, and then they won the approval of astronaut John Glenn. Yeah, she was the best. But her merit was being suppressed because her supervisors were too busy looking for one skin color on the job. We'll flip that script to today, and we've come full circle. The effort to allegedly overcome the racism and marginalism of the past is not met with cries to always promote the best, no matter what their skin color. Oh no, the race baiters and charlatans of today are back to the days of meritless work environments based only on lifestyle and skin color. And thus, merit fades into obscurity like some weird scene from Idiocracy. Well, just the other day, it was discovered that the Boston Police Department is in a recruiting drive for Muslim officers because, you know, everyone knows your religious preference is key to being a good cop. And when you dial 911, you want to first ask what the religion is of the first responder, right? No. Or how about in King County, Washington, not long ago, when a DEI training session for firefighters was suspended when it became centered on the notion that white first responders were somehow dangerous. Let's just say the firemen were having none of it. Not long ago, a school board meeting in Pennsylvania got kind of DEI weird when one of the members openly stated she could not support one individual for the position as president of the board because, here's her quote, she said it on the open record, he was the only cis white male running, so she couldn't support him. Even though she acknowledged he would likely do a good job, she thought it would send the wrong message. Yeah, she was compelled to resign a few days later. And you may recall the story. I told it about a year and a half, 2 years ago, about the Thomas Jefferson High School for Science and Mathematics. One of the most renowned high schools in the nation, apparently. The administration there had become so woke that they began withholding information from students who became National Merit Scholars. Can you imagine that? You or your child, with long years and grueling hours of study, earning the right to be named as a National Merit finalist or semifinalist, a fact that, by the way, can make all the difference in the competitive world of college admissions. And that school deliberately refused to make it known. Why? Because they say it clashed with the new Thomas Jefferson High School for Science and Mathematics equitable grading standards. Equitable grading standards. Basically, the pinheads in charge of Thomas Jefferson High School for Science and Mathematics were concerned that if one student excelled, that other students would feel badly about themselves. So in their narrow, woke-minded view, they just chose to dumb down everyone instead of allowing merit or excellence to rise to the top. I mean, this all sounds like fiction, right? It does. It sounds a lot like fiction, but it's not. But there was a fictional story that somebody brought to my attention not long ago. I'd forgotten about it. The story is called Harrison Bergeron by Kurt Vonnegut. Kurt Vonnegut was a prolific writer of science fiction. Harrison Bergeron is actually a short story he wrote in 1961, maybe only 6 pages long. And wow, is it on point. Let me read you a few lines. You ready? Here's how it opened. The year was 2081, and everybody was finally equal. They weren't only equal before God and the law. They were equal every which way. Nobody was smarter than anybody else. Nobody was better looking than anybody else. Nobody was stronger or quicker than anybody else. All the equality was due to the 211th, 212th, and 213th Amendments to the Constitution and to the unceasing vigilance of the agents of the United States Handicapper General. Wow. The story goes on, by the way, to describe the very average lives of George and Hazel Bergeron. It describes Hazel as being of average intelligence, but George was actually determined to be very intelligent, so the government office of the Handicapper General, they made him wear a device that blasted erratic noises in his ears every few minutes to keep him from having clear and cogent thoughts that might make him excel over that of others. In the story, it was described as a sharp noise to keep people like George from taking unfair advantage of their brains. George and Hazel sat watching a ballet on TV in the story. But each of the dancers, based upon their individual skills, were saddled with bags of birdshot tied to their waist to weigh them down so that nobody could dance better than the other. And each one of the dancers had to wear masks so that nobody could be more beautiful than the other. Well, the title character was Harrison Bergeron. He was the son of George and Hazel. But the office of the Handicapper General, they had removed him from their home as their son. They took their son out of the home when he was 14 because he was too perfect. He was too attractive. He was too athletic. He was too smart. Nobody should have a child that much better than anyone else. Harrison was featured in the story as the anti-equality character, and I won't try to spoil it for you by telling you what happened next, but it was spot on. Spot on. The story of Harrison Bergeron by Kurt Vonnegut sounds creepy, and yet you can compare the same attitude to what we see in the ridiculous decisions by people in charge of places like the Thomas Jefferson School for Science and Mathematics. Let me tell you, when those in charge become determined to suppress excellence in favor of equity, then failure becomes the norm and success becomes a crime. Let me say that again, with as much emphasis as I can. When those in charge become determined to suppress excellence in favor of equity, then failure becomes the norm and success becomes a crime. Make no mistake, I'm not for discrimination. I'm not for trying to keep someone down because of their race, sex, religion, or pregnancy, but the race to DEI is not that. DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, those are just synonyms for refusing to allow any one person's merit to be the guide to their ability to serve or succeed. It's farcical to think for a second that good will come of giving someone a job or a title or a security clearance or a scholarship or some power over others merely because they checked off a DEI box and not because they were the best candidate for the job. Cases in point. Think over the last few years. Remember Samuel Brenton? Oh, yeah. Samuel Brenton, the cross-dressing, non-binary, radical, kink fetish lecturer, should never have been given a top secret clearance or access to sensitive government information. It was wrong and it failed. How about Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, an extremely accomplished jurist and with a sound legal mind? She should never have been put in the position of having an asterisk by her appointment to the Supreme Court of the United States merely because she was a black woman. She may well have earned it otherwise, but President Biden tainted her by announcing that DEI was his first motive in selecting her. And then there's even on the Republican side. Remember George Santos? Should have never been elected to Congress from the state of New York because he habitually lied about his own resume in an effort to be something that he's not. Well, Santos is gone now. He's in jail now. Removed from office by his peers in the House, Santos is a product of a society that believes that no one is okay the way God made them. You have to be adjusted. You have to be able to show something different than just achieving things on your merit. So yeah, DEI, y'all, that's where merit goes to die. When we allow ourselves to believe for a minute that no one is allowed to be the person that God intended them to be or to exercise their own gifts or talents or personal disciplines in such a way as to earn a position, then we have become something like, you know, nothing more than a society filled with empty average characters like George and Hazel Bergeron, saddled up with bags of birdshot and noisemakers so that no one person can rise to their personal best. DEI. That's where merit goes to die and where failure becomes acceptable. And we can't have it by any name. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.